Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. The Old Testament closes with the Jewish people having returned from captivity in Babylon. And by the time of the New Testament, a great part of the Jews had scattered throughout the world. This dispersion began under the Persian Empire that followed the Babylonian rule. The Jews fared rather well under the Persians, with some exceptions. They were also respected by Alexander the Great, the Grecian conqueror. He recognized their intelligence and their industriousness, their integrity and their stability, and he used them for his own favor. When Alexander died, his empire was divided into four parts among four of his generals. Palestine was given to Ptolemy family, who ruled Egypt. And while he and his sons generally favored the Jews, there was a constant struggle between Egypt and Syria for the land of Palestine. And the Jews were subjected to constant persecution and warfare between them. Now, during these stages of historical importance, the Old Testament was translated into the Greek language, often called the Septuagint version. That version was often quoted by New Testament-inspired writers. This translation and the dispersion of the Jews had a tremendous impact upon the spread and the knowledge and the vigor of Judaism and the expectancy of the coming Messiah. When the Syrians conquered Palestine and taking it away from Egypt, the Jews were severely persecuted. Their worship was terminated. Their temple was desecrated. Everything possible was done to humiliate the Jews and destroy them and their religion. But both survived. Actually, extreme cruelty administered by the Syrians against the Jews, it backfired because it strengthened the resolve of the Jews to drive the Syrians from their homeland. And this they did under the leadership of men called the Maccabees. And after a successful revolt against the Syrians, for approximately a century, the Jews enjoyed relative independence. But internal struggles for power finally brought the Romans into the area about 63 B.C. And after several appointed rulers, Herod the Great was given power in Jerusalem, and he was the one who was ruling when Jesus Christ was born. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they are records of what we know of the life and the activities of Jesus Christ here upon this earth. 6 months before the birth of Christ, John the Baptist was born. Jesus was born as prophesied to the virgin named Mary, who was a spouse to Joseph. And because of threats against his life, he was taken to Egypt, where he remained until Joseph was instructed to return to the land of Canaan and make his residence in Nazareth. And there Jesus remained until about the age of 30. Before continuing with the account of the life of Christ, it is well to know that only about 3.5 years of the life of Christ were involved in his personal ministry. Probably less than 30 days of those 3.5 years are specifically recorded. Very little actually is known of the life of Jesus from the time he returned from Egypt as an infant and to Nazareth until he was about 30 years old. We do have the record of his visit to the temple at the age of 12 and the assertion that he was subject to Joseph and Mary during those years. Now, these four books, rather than being a complete biography of the life of Christ, they were to serve a different purpose, a purpose that was expressed in the book of John, chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and believing have life in his name. The outstanding events of these four books include his baptism, the temptation by the devil, his preaching the sermon from an unnamed mount, the selection of his apostles, the way he fulfilled Old Testament prophecies. It tells us of his travels, his teaching, his preaching, performing miracles to confirm his word, and establishing his identity as the Son of God. For approximately 3.5 years he was active in Galilee, Samaria, Judea, maybe only once or twice venturing outside of these provinces. These books also reveal how envy and jealousy and hatred mounted against him. He was eventually betrayed and seized, subjected to a series of mock trials before both religious and civil authorities, and even though declared innocent of the crimes of which he was accused, he was subjected to all manner of indignities and humiliations, and finally crucified as if he were a criminal. He was buried in a borrowed tomb, and there remained for the prophesied 3 days and nights. And when he died, he fulfilled the function of the law of Moses, taking it out of the way, and it was abolished by being fulfilled. It's no longer God's law for any man, not even the Jewish nation to whom it was exclusively given. But he arose from the dead by the power of God, and was thereby declared to be the Son of God, Romans 1 and verse 4. And he was seen by many witnesses after his resurrection. At least 12 different appearances are recorded in Scripture, once being seen by as many as 500 people at once. And having given promise to his apostles of the coming of the Holy Spirit, and having given them the commission to go and preach the gospel to the whole world, Jesus ascended into heaven to receive his kingdom, assuming his place of authority by the right hand of God on the heavenly throne, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The second chapter of the book of Acts details the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles just as Jesus promised, and the establishment of the Lord's kingdom, which is his church. On the first Pentecost, after his ascension, the promises and the prophecies of God were accomplished. The kingdom came, and salvation was offered to sinful man on the merit of the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. For the first time, repentance and remission of sins was preached in his name. Those who heard the message of salvation as preached that day, they believed, and they obeyed it by repenting and being baptized and added to his church. And from that time until now, the Lord's church has existed. The kingdom is a reality. The salvation for man is given when man meets the conditions that God announced through the apostles. And in the book of Acts, we have several records of people being converted to Christ. We know what they were taught and what they did, and the result of their obedience. Acts gives us a portion of the history of the early church and its growth, its governmental nature, and the spread of New Testament Christianity throughout the known world. The lives and the works of the apostles, in particular that of Peter and Paul, are revealed for us. And following the book of Acts, the Bible furnishes us some 21 epistles or letters that the Holy Spirit had inspired the writers to write to Christians. Some were addressed to individuals, some to a specific local congregation, others to Christians in general. From the Epistle of Romans through the Epistle of Jude, we learn of the manner of life the Christian is to live, and what are to be his goals and his ideals and his priorities, his mission in life. We learn how to worship. We learn of the necessity of preparation for the Lord's return, the coming resurrection and judgment, and about eternity. These epistles repeatedly urge the Christian to be faithful and remain loyal to the Savior and his way. And without the guidance from these epistles, we would be at a loss for much of the nature of New Testament Christianity. The great and loving story of God's plan for saving man through Jesus Christ concludes with the book of Revelation. That book is not, as many mistakenly seem to think, a copy of tomorrow's newspaper, foretelling everything that shall happen between then and the end of the world. Rather, it is a book of optimism, a book of hope and expectancy, victory for the faithful, the eventual triumph of good over evil. It is a book where the glories of heaven are unfolded to us in figurative language, making us realize its reality and the grandeur of it, exceeding even our fondest dreams. And even though persecution may beset our path, there is no despair, no defeat, but joy and peace and love and goodness and eternal blessed with God. And the redeemed awaiting the faithful Christian shall receive God's reward as God's child. The book of Revelation was primarily dealing with events and conditions then faced by the early church, and the highly symbolic and figurative language of it sends forth the message of assurance to one and to all who remain faithful and loyal to Christ. Dear friend, the Bible is the old, old story of Jesus and his love. This is the book of books that we must study, that we must know, that we must believe, that we must obey. Herein is revealed man's hope for this life and for the life to come. Jesus Christ, the hope of glory. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.